Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of Chronicles of a Favorite Woman. My name is Suchina Kirkenall, and it's always a privilege and a pleasure to be here tonight. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, thank God for saving me. Oh, I am so grateful. I am so grateful for who he is. I thank you all so much for tuning in tonight. I'm getting on my Facebook Live a little bit late anyway, we're going to keep it moving. I always say that there's never a mistake. There's always correction. So I don't start the show off without prayer. So let's just go into it. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you. We praise you. We give you the honor. We give you the praise. Hallelujah, Lord. We give you the highest praise right now of hallelujah. I thank you, Lord, because you didn't have to wake me up this morning, but you did anyway, and I thank you for that. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy, but most of all, I thank you for your unconditional love. It is you. It is through your grace. It is through your mercy. It's through your understanding, but it's through your unconditional love, Lord, that you sought so much of me, even when I didn't deserve it, to send your son Jesus on Calvary for me. And for that, I say thank you. Lord, I'm not worthy, but I thank you for using me as a vessel, not just me, Lord, but I thank you for all the vessels that you have equipped me to come encounter with and those who are designed to hear the testimonies of those vessels. I thank you as we move forward tonight. I submit Tina to you. I submit Suchina to you. I come to the throne of grace and humbly throw myself at you, Lord, because without you, nothing's possible. But with you, all things are possible. You are most gracious. You are most worthy. And I can't thank you enough. And it's through your son, Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I ask you to watch over the speaker that's going to be speaking with me tonight. You are worthy, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. You are worthy, Lord. I got you up on Facebook Live. And without you, there is no me. There is no grace and no mercy. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. I thank you again. I can't thank you enough for tuning in tonight to Blog Talk Radio. That is one of the vehicles that I use besides Facebook Live. What can I say? We're in the month of February. We are 2022, y'all. Second month in the 22nd year, 2,222 years, or 2,022 years. What more can I say with the exception of I'm grateful for his grace. I'm grateful for his mercy. I thank you, Lord. And if you know of anybody that could benefit from this program, then I please, by all means, if you're on Blog Talk Radio, please tune in to Chronicles of a Favorite Woman. If you're on Facebook Live, you know, jump on the live. I cannot begin to tell you how excited I am about this month. And the whole month is dedicated around the word love. And what better way to start love when we start talking about the different components of love or what can love consist of is by going by self-love. It can't get any better than that because before we can love anyone else, we have to learn to love ourselves first. And that's what we're going to be talking about tonight, loving me first. The questions I have for you tonight is, what does self-love look like for you? What does it look like for you? You know, how do we love? Or better yet, how do I love? Let me count the ways. It's a cliche, but it's so true. Tonight is not going to be any different. As we kick off our love series, I have a very beautiful, beautiful soul coming in tonight to talk about self-love and what it means to her and what it means to her, you know, the impact and the importance of self-love. And for me, I'll start off by asking the question that I was asking everyone about, you know, what does self-love look like to me? So what does self-love look like to me? It looks like, one, loving yourself. Let me stop. Let me go back because we need to go back to the definition of self-love. And I'm going to paraphrase what it says in the definition. So the definition indicates that self-love is basically learning to love yourself first before others. You know, we have a tendency, and I'm guilty, I don't know about anyone else, I'm guilty of putting everybody ahead of our own needs. And then I used to get upset because I would put other people before me, and I would be the one left out. But that's not self-love. It's not self-love whatsoever. But when I got to the point where I started learning to appreciate me, and one of the things that happened for me is I learned to say the word no. And just like a friend of mine always says, no is a complete sentence. And I'm good with that. And I learned how to say no and be okay with saying no. So that was self-love for me, as preserving my peace and my sanity. I had a situation today where my peace was being disturbed, and I finally had to come into the conversation that, you know what, my peace is being disturbed, and at this point, I'm going to have to disconnect the call. And I don't care if you're family. I don't care if you're my children. I don't care who you are. I do not love anything or anyone disturb my peace, and it's called peace of mind. And when you get a peace of mind, you're not going to let anybody take that away from you. And I will fight to the death to keep mine. So with that being said, I have an awesome guest coming on the show. And when I tell you she is a phenomenal woman, she is a phenomenal woman. And I love her to life. When I looked at her story, I'm on her Facebook page, and I just looked at her story of where she started. She started a transformation, and it was not just physical, because the physical is bad. Not bad in a bad sense, but when I tell you her physical, just from having children, you know, she had children, you know, the wife, the mother, business. So she had so many, and like most of us, we just give in to everybody else but us, and we kind of let ourselves go, and to a point where we forget about ourselves. This particular young lady, when I say she's beautiful, and I can't wait to bring her on. Her name is Miss Felicita. I hope I said it right. She'll correct me. Hawkins. So
Felicita.
I want to thank you for Felicita. Yes, I knew I was close. I want to thank you so much for coming on tonight to Chronicles of a Favorite Woman. As I mentioned, I cannot begin to give you the kudos enough for how much I admire you. How you have grown from when you started your path to peace and where you are now. Just on the physical level, I'm going to go on that. You know, I see how you work out, how you inspire other people, you encourage other people. And I'm not saying it was easy. I'm not saying that either. But I just see how you do that and where you are now. And let me ask you the question. And I know I told you I was going to do you three questions, but I got four, actually. Let's first go with the three questions that I'm going to ask. Well, who are you? What do you do? And why do you love what you do?
Okay. Well, my name, again, is Felicita Hawkins, and people call me Flea. It's a childhood nickname. Some people don't like to call me that, but most people do. Flea, spelled like a bug, F-L-E-A. I'm 44, and I'm married. I am a mom of six, and I've birthed three. I am Native American. I'm a tribal member of the Santa Rosa Band of Cahuilla Indians, but I don't look Native. I'm pretty whitewashed, but we do have solidarity in our tribes, and I'll tell you, we are. I'm very involved with my tribe. Recently transitioned from being a specialized cost accountant in cost accounting standards for government contracting. I was doing that for 22 years, and that actually led me into what I'm doing now because of my health. I am now a full-time wellness coach pursuing full-time income with wellness coaching. And I also make jewelry. I'm starting a jewelry business that's going to be launching here probably this week. It keeps getting pushed back, but you know how life gets in the way. Sometimes you can't get everything done. Mm-hmm. And so you have to be easy on yourself. That's part of self-love. You have to be easy on yourself. If you don't meet a goal, you just push it back. You don't give up, right? And so what I do now is I'm wellness coaching and I'm making jewelry, and I haven't launched jewelry yet, but wellness coaching is really my passion because when I started out on my health journey over 2 years ago, I was in a pit, in a very big mental, you know, spiritual and physical pit. And so I was watching one of my old high school acquaintances. We weren't even friends in high school. She was 2 years younger than me, and we ran in different circles. And I was watching her her fitness journey. And when I saw that, I looked at her, and I could immediately tell, okay, this woman doesn't drink. You know, when I first started out, I was very much in deep into alcoholism. And I could look at her, and I could tell, I'm like, she doesn't drink. And I wanted that. And she was the one that I really, really wanted, because I remember being at a party when I was really young. It wasn't a good party. Everybody was drinking and there were drugs. And I remember her walking in like this tall glass of water, looking like she walked out of like a wellness retreat. And I was like, oh, my gosh, how is she able to come into a party, be completely stone-cold sober, have a bottle of Evian water, and still have fun? And that really appealed to me. So I joined her team, and I didn't tell her that my real reason for joining was to stop drinking alcohol. But so I ended up joining her team and losing weight, and, gosh, I started drinking more. because I had a lot more muscle and I could metabolize it faster. And I went into a really, really deep pit, and a whole bunch of life circumstances happened, and I just hit 10 months sober. Never thought it was possible, but I did it through the support of a group, not through AA, but through the support of a group, and through going through detoxification cleanses and, you know, all the things. And so because I didn't have necessarily the luxury of being too open about alcoholism, I had to do it my own. Not that I didn't. It was just my fear, my own fear of not letting certain people know that I went a different route. And I want to pay it forward, because there are other people like that. And, you know, AA is, you know, isn't necessarily your only option. And so I really love paying it forward, because when you're stuck, I mean, when you're in a position where you feel like you're stuck, and everything you're doing doesn't work, I like to be the hands to help you out of that stuckness. Here, grab my hands and we'll unstick you together, because that was done to me by my coach. And it's a beautiful thing when you can pay it forward. That's why I love what I do.
Yes. You said quite a few things that what got me is you saw something and it became a goal of yours. You didn't want that lifestyle anymore. You wanted to do something different. you also said that one of the things that you wanted to do and that you do currently do is that you wanted to pay it forward. And it's so awesome when you can come through and then go back and help others do the same. So I commend you for that, very much so, very much so. So I thank you for sharing that. I also want to start diving in a little bit, you know, because a part of that is, you know, I hear the self-love all over. You got, at what point did you, when you said enough was enough?
Well, I think, you know, losing weight, you know, I lost my first 30 pounds in 2020 through COVID. And I did a detox, and it was like, I did a detox. I was off alcohol for 3 weeks, and I felt really good about myself, but I picked it right back up. But when I started out, that was not my enough is enough. It was actually a year later, a little bit more than a year later, in March of 2021. Actually, it was about a year ago. It was last Christmas, not this past, but last Christmas. And I just remember just feeling, I could feel the alcohol in my body. I was not where I should have been anywhere. I should have been spiritually, mentally, just in a negative pit, in a hamster wheel, negative thoughts, self-limiting thoughts, self-sabotaging, that led to self-sabotaging behaviors. And I remember telling my son, it was Christmas time going into 2021, and I remember looking at my son, my older son, and I said, I want to go an entire year. Sad thinking about it, but it's also great. Yeah, I want to go an entire year without drinking. And he goes, you'll never be able to do that. So he said to me. And then, you know, we had gotten into the beginning of the year, and it was super stressful, and a very stressful job. And so I had traveled 3 times in the first quarter, and I remember, you know, just feeling terrible because I was drinking and traveling and drinking and traveling, and that's the worst because you're tired, you're not getting enough water, and I came home and I looked at my skin and I looked like a teenage kid, and I knew it was all about the drinking, and I had had enough. I had had enough, and my team was doing a detox. And I was like, okay, this is it. I want to put it down forever. And I remember putting it down the first day, just so scared, not thinking that I was going to be able to do it. And then it kept the momentum going. But as you start going through that, lots of stuff comes out, and it gets really hard, you know, because you're now not throwing down alcohol to suppress the things that you were trying to suppress, that they're all coming out, right? And so at that point, it became a real deliberate and decided process to not just work on, you know, my body, but to work on my mind, body, and spirit, because you can't work on any single one in a vacuum and neglect the other without everything falling apart. So exactly. My life has now become about, like, really focusing on all three, and it's a hat trick. It truly is.
Well, I commend you. You know, to take that step, you know, even when you didn't have the initial support, I think a lot of us go through stuff like that. You know, we go through, we do it so much and so often, people get used to seeing that. And then when they hear, well, I'm going to change, and it's all like, well, yeah, you say that. I know I went through that. You know, I went through, you know, I was going through my addiction, my dad was like, Tina, you're not going to do it. But, you know, I can't even tell you how many years now, it's well over 5 years now that, my family are like, you know, I can't even see you falling off the wagon, because I was like I was really adamant. I was into my addiction, and I wasn't scared about it. I wasn't ashamed about it. I wasn't, you know, I just did what I did because I've always been a fishbowl. But standing strong through the test, because I am sure when you decided to make that decision, you know, to do it physically, when you do it mentally, when you did it spiritually, it was and probably still is an ongoing process. So I commend you for
absolutely.
That. So I thank you, or I applaud you for taking the step to say, I love myself, and I love myself enough to do what I need to do. Or did you have any, what was your motivations besides yourself that kept you strong through the way?
I think, you know, when you sign up to be a wellness coach, it's kind of like, well, you know, to keep myself there, it's because I told people about it. Well, I don't want to look like a flake, you know. And that is exactly what you don't want to look like, because that's what you're fighting. You know, it's like you do crazy things and you say crazy things when you're not in your right mind and you're under the influence.
Mm-hmm.
And then people expect you, just like you were saying, they expect you to act and behave a certain way and not follow through, you know, to just, you know, your words just be meaningless. And, you know, I didn't want that, and I didn't want to have that example before my children. You know, it's been over 10 months now since I've touched any alcohol, and I had a conversation with my daughter. Yeah, with my daughter yesterday, my six-year-old daughter that just turned six. And we were talking about, she was like, Mommy, you only drink water. You only drink water anymore, right? And I'm like, yep, that's all Mommy drinks. You know, or I'll have a little energy drink here and there, you know, or some tea. But I really don't even drink anything but that, because I try to watch all of my intake. But, you know, she even noticed, like, yep, no more. She's like, because water is for your detox, right? So she knows that, like, I'm living the detox lifestyle, like trying to detoxify. And that's not just with, like, what I ingest. It's also who I'm around. It's also, you know, people that can steal your joy, you know. So I'm trying to live that more detox lifestyle. And they even noticed
awesome.
It. So it's for my entire family.
Awesome. And in your role of detox, I want to break this apart. I want to break it apart a little bit more. You know, you said you mentioned you had the issue with alcohol, but my question is, why did you have the issue with alcohol? What led you to doing that? Normally when people drink or have an addiction, it was usually a numbing pain for me. And it was a numbing pain because I'm a survivor of childhood sexual abuse. And I dealt with all the everything that came with being abused. What was it that led you to alcohol?
Yeah, it's the same. You and I have that in common. I had a period of 5 years from the time I pretty much had memories around three to 8 years old, where my cousin, who's 8 years older than I am, was assaulting me for those years.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, it was, you know, the assault coupled with, you know, the way that my parents handled it, you know, it was handled very, very poorly. But then to make matter, you know, to add insult to injury, it was like my parents invited him to come and live in the home with us after I returned home from college. And, you know, I stayed in the home for a period of time until I could gather enough money, because the whole idea for me to go home after college was to, you know, save money so that I could move out
right.
and, you know, get a place and everything. And so that was a little premature. I moved out, but there was a stint where I lived there, and it was, that's really, I can definitely remember. I I started doing a lot of things. Like, gosh, I was 21, 22 years old, and, you know, the possibilities are endless. And so
yeah.
I was doing a lot of things, and, you know, it progresses. So it progressed and progressed and progressed, and the family issues never got any better. They got worse. And, you know, so there's a lot of abandonment, you know, maybe not like, you know, the worst of the worst abandonment issue that you could imagine, but abandonment in that, you know, what you idealize as a kid, your parents protecting you and being there for you, you know, that is, you know, and taking your side and being loyal and all of those things, those weren't there. So, you know, I just drank it down. I drank it all down, just tried to flood it out. And what I ended up doing was becoming a shell of myself. I lost my drive, my passion. You know, I had like my skin was so messed up, but I never had like bad skin. I lost my beautiful skin. I all the things. And so, you know, I drank it down. And so now I'm at the point where I'm like, you know what, I need to stop this madness. I need to, you know, get the alcohol out of my system and start dealing with all of these old, like all of these things, and let them come up and go out, you know? And so that's what I've been doing for, you know, very deliberately for the past year, is just really, you know, sometimes, you know, it's not so good to just press it down or to ignore it. It's to let it come up, not dwell on it, let it come up, be with it for a minute, and then move on. You know, it's like my biggest act of self-love, I guess even over the past week, is just when you have those vicious thoughts that can just pull you down, I ask the Lord and I say, Lord, just, you know, how do you want me to react? How do you want me to think? And then it's like, forgive and move forward. Forgive and move forward. Because how can I expect him to forgive me if I don't forgive? And it's hard. Like, I feel like it's a tearing away of my flesh. Been done very wrong. We've all been done very wrong, but it's like, you're asking me to forgive. What are you doing? But what I'm finding is just in 1 week, saying that to myself, in 1 week, it's transformative.
Yes.
And it's like, I want more of the transformation, because the way that I had been living was just self-loathing. You know, it was just every form of self-loathing. And that's not the way God wants us to live. And that's not what he has. And that is not living life more abundantly. And that's not thriving. I don't want to just survive. I want to thrive. And I know that God has it for me. And he has it for others who are dealing with this. Like, if you're listening to this and this is touching you, trust me. There are other people out there that have been there, that you are loved. Your feelings are valid. You've been hurt, but don't let it destroy you, because it will. It can destroy you if you allow it.
If you allow it, you're right.
All it takes is one prayer. All it takes is one prayer and one encounter to change everything.
Exactly. I commend you for that. That's not an easy step. And forgiveness, though it's necessary, but it's hard at times. You got to get to a point where you have to make your step. You know, when I speak to people, I have the opportunity to speak on other platforms. You know, one of the things I talk about is forgiveness. It was hard for me to forgive. It was hard for me to forgive because, you know what, I felt comfortable in unforgiveness. Because I felt comfortable in the pain and being angry. I felt comfortable and not realizing that I was drinking poison, thinking that I was killing someone else, but I was actually killing myself. You know, I can't tell you how much I commend you, because I see your transformation, and it's just beautiful. And yes, you're right. It is a wonderful program. Art Barbara Ann said is a wonderful program. I'm calling her my aunt. She's my cousin, but I'm calling her my aunt. But she's commending your program. I commend you because not only did you take that step to do it physically, but you also did it spiritually, because I'm a big proponent, you know, if it had not been for Jesus, I don't know what I would have done. And when I hear you talk and I hear your testimony, I can't help but to piggyback on that. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, thank God for saving me. I say that every show and every time I get a chance to, because it's so powerful. It is so powerful. And now that you have made that step, you've gone through the alcoholism, you've gone through your traumas, because that's what they are. Traumas are not easy. And now you're going through the forgiveness part. You know, I want to know, as a person, when you started your forgiveness role, how did you feel across the board?
Honestly, you feel it. I feel like you feel it in your mind, your body, and your spirit. You feel it in all three, because, you know, in the Bible, it says that, you know, it can take root, that bitterness can take root in your heart. You know, mm-hmm. Love can take root, and they can't exist in the same spot. But, you know, when you also talk about, like, it taking root in your heart is in your body. You know, it's not just, you know, it's in your body. If you've had traumas that happen to you, and this is truly a scientific, and I am not a scientist, but I have read it on all of the good, all of good websites like NIH and, you know, the ones that are backed. And I'll tell you, trauma, you house it in your body, right? And it can make you sick if you don't allow it to release. So, you know, going through this whole process, like, you know, and being very deliberate, it has been extremely difficult. I'm not even going to front to anybody. There are some days where you feel like giving up. You feel like this is hard. Like, what is this? And, but the further you go and the more progress you make, you do become more sensitized to those types of toxicities, whoever you're around. Like, you know, it's in other people are also very sensitized to me. Like, I can tell, not just from my own perspective, a difference since I've been on this forgiveness process, but I can also tell a difference in the way that people are responding to me. I have had a very difficult time with personal relationships my entire life, because it does send them back to the trauma and it not being validated, and then me feeling worthless and all the self-loathing. And so, you know, with that being said, it's like, how do you love yourself? Well, you first start loving yourself by forgiving yourself, forgiving others, and moving forward and just letting your light shine through. Like, I don't know how to explain how you do it. Everybody comes how they do it on their own and through their relationship with the Lord. But, you know, if you've had something horrible happen to you, it's okay. It's okay to be angry. But but Scripture tells us to be angry yet sin not. That's a hard one right there. How can you be angry when something is that horrible has happened to you and sin not? So right now I'm choosing even not to be angry, because I held on to that verse for so long. Oh, be angry and sin not. Well, shoot, I was sinning the whole time, because I was mad, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm choosing. Choosing to not be angry. Go ahead.
No. I'm sorry for interrupting. I get so caught up. But did you know that pain is an addiction too?
Yeah, I sure did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's what I hear. Mm-hmm. I hear that you are addicted to pain. You know.
Yeah.
And then when you find start releasing that, when you come to grips, you come to terms, come to a reality check of, I can't continue this no more. Now, I don't know about you, but I know for me, when I decided to start releasing, breaking those chains, and allowing God to come in, saturate my heart, and I was just telling my son this evening, you know, when a thought comes in, like those, I call them ants, as Pastor Jamal would say, automatic negative thoughts. When they start coming in, I told my son, think of Jesus. You know, for me, I could be right in the middle of closing a deal, and all of a sudden something triggers a memory. And when it does, instead of allowing it to fester, I'll just start calling Jesus, 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 and I do it in my mind. I do it so much that it's just human nature for me to do it. So for you, when those automatic negative thoughts try to roam in your mind, what is your comeback for it?
It's forgive and move forward, forgive and move forward. And I had, I don't know if you've watched the new series called The Chosen. Have you heard of that?
No, I can't say I have. Mm-mm.
Oh my goodness. I'm sure other listeners have heard of it, but it was produced outside of Hollywood, and it goes through the story of Jesus. I'll send you information on that. It's incredible. It's incredibly done. John and I were watching it the other night, and you know, they were showing a scene with the lame man at the pool of Bethesda. Do I have that right?
Mm-hmm.
He would lie there and try to get to the water, and he could never get there. And well, the scene was done so beautifully. Well, Jesus shows up, and he looks at him, and he goes, "Do you want to be healed?" And the guy kind of looks at him, and he's like, "You know, like." It was like a rhetorical question, like, "Do I really want to be healed?" Because Jesus looks at him and goes, "Because you and I both know, even if you made it to that water, you wouldn't be healed right now. You wouldn't be healed because you're just lying here in your trauma. You're lying here and just wallowing in it." And I had this moment watching an episode, like, do I want to be healed? Do I want to be healed of this bitterness that was taking root in my heart? Yes, Jesus, I do. It was like I had this TV. I don't know if anybody's ever had it, like where you're watching something on TV or you're hearing something on a radio, and you're just like, whoa, that was a real spiritual moment here. That was a God moment. Jesus came down at me and whispered in my ear and said, "Do you want to be healed?" It's like, yes, I want to be healed because this is making me sick and my whole family sick. And it was at that point that it was maybe a few minutes later that one of my girlfriends had texted me, and she's going through something where she's having to forgive and move forward. And she just wrote, she goes, "Girl, we just got to forgive and move forward. Just forgive and move forward." And every time now, I say that to myself, forgive and move forward, forgive and move forward, forgive and move forward, when those words come up. But it all goes back to, you know, me watching the movie there and my friend texting me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I go to. And it just clicked with me. And it was like God gave me that tool right there in that moment that he knew would help me. And I pray that for anybody else who's listening, I pray that over you, that you would just have a real encounter and that God would give you something that you could hang on to as opposed to hanging on to bitterness, because there's so much healing and love and forgiveness as opposed to hanging on to bitterness. You can't ever truly be, you know, live that life and live it more abundantly, you know, hanging on to the bitterness and the anger. And Lord knows I have been the most bitter, angry individual. And you know what? I have reasons. Everybody who ever looked at me and has ever heard my story, they're like, oh yeah, I can see why. But that still doesn't make people want to be around me, you know? if you're wallowing in the bitterness and the anger, you know, and that's what I found out through my relationships. It's like, yeah, I had every reason in the world, but hey, people aren't going to want to be around you. And you know what, even though bad things happen to us, you know, it's still my responsibility to be the best version of myself that I can be.
Exactly. Because it reminds me of what I always say to people. It doesn't matter what people do to you. It's how you respond to what people have done to you.
Oh, yeah.
That's hard. Oh, gosh. Because it was up to me. You know, my grandmother used to always tell me, Tina, they give you stone, you give them bread. And my response is, if they give me stone, I'm going to give them stone back. In fact, I'm going to take the stone and pop it upside their head. And I know my grandma was going to break it down. But I understand, and you know, believe it or not, I'm telling my son that. If people give you stone, you give them bread. It takes too much energy, honestly, too much energy for me to waste about and fester about, yes, it's okay to be angry, but I'm not trying to sin from it. It's not worth it. You know what, Lord? It's like this. You know what, Lord? You take the wheel. You got this. I'm giving you the wheel.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm hearing you. It's just like now, you know what? What used to provoke you, what used to irritate you, now you're like, Jesus, take the wheel. But, you know, they always have to say, God is my co-pilot. No, God is my pilot. I'm the co-pilot, you know. And when you let him take it first, when you allow him to take it first, I hear it in your voice. I hear it. I hear the transformation. I hear the change. It's such a relieving. It's a relief. It's almost like an elephant off your chest.
It's hard. And I will tell you another thing that I've been doing. I've been doing that really helps. She's a secular woman, but there's nothing like, you know, raunchy or anything. It's kind of self-help because I'm changing careers and a lot of these things work. I don't know if anybody's heard of Mel Robbins, but I started reading her book, The High Five Habit. I employed that method in my life, and it's fantastic. If anybody has, you know, just needs something to just help them, you know, in addition, because I'm very extra. I have to have all the things. And she also came up with the 5-second rule. So it's basically counting backwards from five, like the minute you have an impulse. And I've been employing that in my spiritual life. So the minute you count backwards, or the minute you have an impulse to do something, or let's say it's spiritual, like you want to forgive, you want to get off that negative hamster, that negative thought hamster wheel, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So within 5 seconds, you have to 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and you have to put yourself into an active state of changing your mind. Right? Otherwise, your mind will play tricks on you, and this is also scientific, right? And talk yourself into staying on what's comfortable, right? So a lot of times what's comfortable is staying on the negative hamster wheel because that's what's normal, and it's hard to forgive. So I 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, blast off, forgive and move on.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just changed my attention to something else because I could
you
stay
know,
on that negative hamster wheel for days. If I allow myself.
Right. You mentioned a book earlier. Could you repeat the name of the book and the name of the author?
Sure. The High Five Habit, and there's a second book, The 5-Second Rule, and they're both written by Mel Robbins.
Mel Robbins. Okay. I'm going to put it on there because someone asked for it. That's why I'm asking. So, Mel Robert, M-E-L?
Mel Robin, M-E-L, mm-hmm.
Oh.
R-O-B-B-I-N-S.
Okay, R-O-B-B-I-N-S. And what was the name of her book?
The High Five Habit.
The High Five Habit.
Mm-hmm. and the 5-second rule.
High five habit and the 5-second rule. I want to know about what are the high five habits that you mentioned and then the 5-second rule. I think the 5-second rule you already said, but the high five habit.
Yes. The high five habit has really been why I started doing that was because, let me back up here. So being in a career transition and going through just some really big shifts over 2021 has kind of left me and my husband kind of looking at each other like, what do we do? And it creates anxiety. And of course you're in the home and then there's COVID and all the things. And, you know, me trying to get my life together. I remember John and I were kind of in an argument and he's like, baby, we got to give something to these kids to hang on to. And I'm like, gosh, man, he's right. You know, all these people and sayings and everything hitting me upside my head. I'm like, wow, reality check. Because, you know, I can, like any mother, you know, you can pull your hair out crazy. You can lose your patience. You can say things that you don't want to, react to your kids, you know, the way that you don't want to. And then it cycles out of control. And so then dealing with, you know, alcoholism and all of the trauma and then abandonment, you know, it could be a real perfect storm for everything to go downhill really quickly. So one of my coaches had recommended the high five habit because basically your brain is wired such that there are only positive connotations with the high five, with the action of a high five, right? And so the idea behind it is that you stand in front of a mirror and you positively self-talk and then you high-five yourself in a mirror because what it does, well, it will rewire your brain because there are only positive connotations. And it's silly and it seems silly and it seems crazy, but I do it several times a day now and it has changed me since December 26th of this year. I have been high-fiving myself, you know, before then. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I've been doing it a couple of months. That was when I wrote my vision. I'm sorry. But the high-five habit, it has really, really, really been changing me because there are days, every single day, I get up and I journal and I spend time with the Lord and I high-five myself in the mirror. I talk to myself in the mirror and I high-five myself because most days I just want to crawl back into bed. So I'm rewiring my brain because, again, all of those things that happen, they house in your body and they house in your brain. And, you know, like you've got to get it all in conjunction. So while I am a firm believer in scripture, I also believe that there are methods that you can employ that will help to speed up that recovery process and that healing process. Like giving yourself a high five in the mirror. And it sounds crazy, but I'm telling you, the first time I did it, I cried. I legitimately cried. But I'm a crier. I'll cry at anything.
I commend you for that because a lot of people and a lot of, like, a therapist, they encourage that because I have a therapist, okay? I tell people there is no shame and getting help. Mm-hmm. Yes, we call on God, but God creates therapists as well. And there's no shame in it. You know, I have tons and tons of stuff on my mirror that I keep as you say, your high five. I have one side for my son, one side for me. And I, you know, some of the things that I have that's on his sheet is, I love myself. I believe in myself. I am the best version of, I can be the best version of myself. Every day is a new day, you know. And for me, there's so many things I have. I have to have things, scriptures and sayings, because when you read that out loud and when you do look in that mirror, for me, when I look at that mirror, because I remember a time I couldn't look myself in the mirror. I could not even look at myself in the mirror. I could not, and I wouldn't do it. And now I give myself a lot of compliments in the mirror. Like, girl, you look good. Even though you're on your bad hair day, that's still a good day. You know, whatever I can do to build myself up. Because even in the Bible, David helped himself. He didn't need nobody to pump him up. He pumped his own self up. He really did.
That's right.
So who am I? And then I think about some of the things that I've gone through or whatever and still do go through. I'm not saying I'm not shy from stuff that goes through. And I will, you know, I'm past the point of why me. The thing is, why not you? But it goes through, I just have to take it as learning point, you know. And every situation is building me up. It's like Jacob's ladder. Every round goes higher and higher and higher and higher and higher. And I commend you, honey. I do. I really do commend you. Now I want to talk about now that you are, you know, you're at this point now. What are you doing with that? Now that you've gone through, you had your trauma, you went through, and now you're paying it forward. Let's talk about you paying it forward.
I am. I'm paying it forward. So I am a wellness coach, and I have a team of people, and I have my clients, and of course I reach to them and pay it forward that way. But I also I make it a habit I write cards to women every week randomly, just kind of I'm in my prayer closet, and I ask the Lord, okay, who needs a card and a nice pick me up, because you know you can text people, you can send them an email, you can do that, but you know the art of writing handwritten cards I think has been lost, and so seriously no strings attached. It's literally, Lord, who do you want me to shine my light on today? Who needs this? That's one way that I minister to women, and I visit six friends, and then there's also another group that we've started here for about a month. There's Unconnected to Wellness. I had a lady that reached out to me, and she was like, Lee, oh my gosh, what are you doing? And, you know, I started explaining to her, you know, what I was doing, and she was like, would you come and join this group that I want to start? I was like, sure. She goes, I don't know what it is, but I'm just tired. She was like, basically, I'm tired of my own crap. And she's like, maybe you come and talk to us women. And so I was like, sure. So I didn't realize that they had already gone and gotten this binder that I had been showing on social media. It's called the Rise Up Binder by Moira Kusaba. And she outlines, you know, how you can basically, like, manifest your own destiny through writing out your vision and then reverse engineering your goals all the way down to daily tasks. So they had gotten this huge binder, and I show up. You know, I had already written out my vision because that's the first thing that you do, and my girlfriend was like, oh, you know, well, what's your vision? And so I read my vision, and there's four different scriptures. And so didn't really talk about it. 3 weeks later, there was a new lady that came in, and they're like, Flea, would you read your vision again? So I read my vision again. So the lady was older, 78. And she's like, well, is this religious thing? And I'm like, no, this is just personally my vision. I mean, this group is not, you know, any strings attached, but we all started talking about it. You know, every single one of them were agnostic. Every single one of them are older. And I'm sitting there thinking, wow, this is a no strings attached group. And here I am just really coming out of the depths of my own trauma. And women are saying, Flea, what are you doing? And I'm like, God, I'm not equipped for this. And he says, shut up. Yes, you are.
You already doing it.
Right. That's what's happening. So it's all really fresh but you know, it's exciting. That's it. That's what I'm doing. I'm taking care of my kids and, you know, being present for my kids where I haven't had an opportunity to, and just pouring into them as much as I can now that I do have an opportunity.
Awesome. So what I would say, because we're wrapping up, I told you these 60 minutes are going to go by quick. If you can offer any nuggets of wisdom of anyone who may be going through, especially when they are having this issue of self-love and self-sabotaging and stuff, what nuggets of wisdom can you offer someone?
You know, I would just say to God to help you rightly divide in your mind, because it's a hard one. To not be so hard on yourself. And when I said, let me go back to what I was saying about rightly divide in your mind. There are certain things where, you know, it's right to be angry about. It's rightly dividing between that righteous anger and then bitterness. Because right there is, I think it's that line where people that have had significant trauma in their life, where mm-hmm. it's like you'll ride the line right there and use that as an excuse for everything. Because I've done it. And it's so self-destructive. And then the other thing is that you reach out. You can reach out to me. I know that Sashina, you can reach out to her. Don't suffer alone, because there are people out there that love and care and know what it's like to feel like lonely, know what it feels like to be on the brink of suicide. I do.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and if they
want to reach out
to you.
Well, you could reach out to me at Instagram, Felicita_Hawkins. It's spelled Felicite_Hawkins, Hawkins. You could direct message me, or I'm at Felicita Hawkins on Facebook. You could reach out to me and private message me there. Absolutely. Yes, but I would also say, you know, to just try to love yourself as much as possible and be proud of your focus as much as you can on the positive things and things that bring you joy. If you've got a hobby, do a hobby, be creative. You know, if you like to be outside, get outside and move your body. That will help so many things. If you're stuck on a negative hamster wheel, if you can't get off the couch, seriously, go and do a somersault. Or, you know, get into downward facing dog. Like, move your body. Sometimes moving your body, actually a lot of times moving your body, if you're sedentary and you're stuck in negative thoughts, move your body. Jump up and down. Do jumping jacks. It can change your entire day.
Yes, it does.
I do handstands. I do handstands.
I see that on your page. I do see that on your page. And you got a compliment. Mega kudos and thanks to the guest speaker for sharing so many meaningful nuggets to the listeners who may be struggling with similar issues. Thank you very much. You're tuning in to Chronicles of a Favorite Woman. My name is Pachina Kirkendall, and I've had the privilege and the pleasure of having this. Okay, Felicita Hawkins.
Perfect.
On the line. As a perfect. I have to practice that. I'm trying to tell you, because I want to rename you. But I want to thank you all for tuning in. I also want to thank all of my listeners that are listening from Germany, from France, from Australia, from Africa, South America, and of course United States. I'm sure I'm missing some other places, but I just want to thank you, because everyone has a story. Never judge a book by its cover. Everyone has a story, and there is no love like self-love first. always remember that. Love yourself first before anything, and of course God, of course, but before anything, because we are his masterpiece and he made us. So thank you for joining. I want to thank you all for tuning in. My name is Patina Kirkendall. See you next Sunday when we talk about relationships. I love you, but God loves you more. Have a good night. All right, Ms. Felicia, I'm going to call you after I get disconnected.